Today we're going to begin our study, or continuation rather, on the work of sowing. Last week we looked at sowing into the heart of God for His pleasure with the exclusive goal of sowing through offering spiritual sacrifices to God the Father. Now that is something that is a ministry of the royal priesthood. For those of us that are in Christ, you've been granted that privilege. But today I want you to look at the privilege and partnership between us as believers and the call. The Bible talks about calling. It says you were called to one hope, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, right? But your calling is critical. Now, there are universal calls in the Scripture. There's a universal call to repentance. There's a universal call to belief. There's a universal call to be sanctified. And it's a partnership. It's where God works, and you benefit, and you cooperate, and He moves you along down the road. One of the key points of walking with the Lord is you have to understand the greater goal. God is worthy of being glorified by His children on the earth, and the earth is blessed by the church walking with God. Because the church is an agent of love, an agent of eternal healing, an agent of eternal life through salvation that's found alone in Christ alone, right? So you have to understand, Jesus wants to reach those that are perishing. It's not His will that any soul perishes. It is good if those that are serving for Christ are strong, are built up, are wise, are encouragers. And you can't encourage if you yourself don't have encouragement. Amen. You can't provide understanding if you yourself don't understand. Tracking me? So it's critical for all of us to understand the Word of God, the salvation of the Lord, the mystery of Christ, the work that God has called us all to. One of the universal calls is for all of us to adopt the mindset to be here on earth for the Father's pleasure. The Father's pleasure, not your pleasure, His joy, not your joy. That's an adopted mindset. It has to be resolved that you want to live for that purpose. And in that way, you will lose your life on this earth. Let me say it again. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, 30, 36 37, 38, 39, 40, talks about losing your life on this earth so that you can find your life in Christ. Okay, there's the point of the wedge. That's where you cross over from living for yourself to living for Christ. You have to be willing to lay this life down, and you have to be willing to step in to the calling of the Lord. The calling of the Lord to the service of the Lord for His exclusive pleasure. With me so far? Now, as I said, one of the universal calls from the Holy Scripture is that you and I would become sowers. First of all and foremost, you would operate in the royal priesthood and sow into the heart of God through Christ and inside the most holy place with vertical exhortation, vocal praise, offering spiritual sacrifices to God the Father. Point. Next, God has called those that are in Christ to be sowers to the body. In your sphere of influence, you've been placed in a specific place on the earth. That means you have access to specific people to whom God has placed in your life through providence, through sovereignty. In other words, your path has crossed specific people for a specific purpose. Always keep in mind that He has the eternal destiny of every man on His heart. You want to know where God is? You find His heart, His focus on the salvation of souls. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Word of God says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Now, with that said, you have to understand what it is God wants the sowing church to understand. There's a key point here. You have to understand the mystery of Christ Jesus so that you can sow understanding of the mystery into the lives of those that do not know or have not yet come to understanding. In other words, there's a transfer of understanding from those who have it to those who don't, regardless of the demographics of the age of the group. Now, primarily, it's from the elders to the children. Yes? But it's also to the older people in Christ, to those that have just come on board, or who through various circumstances have never subjected themselves long enough to get that kind of deep teaching. Okay? Let me tell you something. It is absolutely impossible to disciple someone if they won't sit still long enough. No one knows that better than me. I got lots of moving targets. And as they pass by me at 60 miles an hour, sometimes I throw a seed at them. And they 99% of the time, I miss them. And they go on until they fall flat on their face. And I'm in a hospital or a prison or in front of a police officer or worse, the funeral house. But should you be given the opportunity to sow into someone's life, God willing, you want to make sure that they understand their purpose on earth. The primary purpose: obey God. Love God with all your heart. But there's action to that, and that's where I'm at today. Is that God wants you to understand the mystery of Christ, and I want to begin by asking you to turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, in this passage, I want you to understand that all this truth you're going to hear today from the reading of the Scripture is for equipping a sower to sow. Equipping a sower to sow into, what was our target? The body of Christ. Okay, last week it was to who? God the Father. Today it's to the body. Now, if you understand that you are an integral part as a sower, the seed, if it never gets in the ground, it'll never grow. Right? So the ear gates and the eye gates and the heart and the mind of the body of Christ around you is your target. And you have to avail yourself to that. In other words, if you're not willing to sow, nobody grows. Let that rest on you. If you're not willing to sow, nobody grows. Okay? You have to understand this is serious business. God wants you to adopt the mindset and the willingness and the commitment to sow into His body in many forms, in many ways. Primary sow is the seed of love. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verses, I'm going to read 1 through 5. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And what I call this reading, verses 1 through 5, is the blessing of understanding. The blessing of understanding. In other words, I didn't know that God had laid His hand on me and said, "Son, you're going to sow. You are going to sow." But once I caught that, I went, "Okay, Lord, I'm in. I'm all in. And I won't look after I sow." Soul Winners is a ministry that God has called to sow seed. To sow it. Some sow, some reap. Only God gives the increase. Okay? So if you adopt the mindset of the sower and you fulfill the duty to sow, rejoice! For God has used you in the eternal development and edification of the holy body of Christ, of which Christ is the exclusive head. Colossians 1:18. So with that said, here's what I call verses 1 through 5, the blessing of understanding. Understanding is critical. If you don't know you're called to sow, you won't sow. Amen? Sir. So here it is. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. There's only two races, Jew and Gentile. Here it is in verse 2. If indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Now, you've heard me talk about the dispensation of grace. What that basically means is there is seasons prophetic seasons in the Bible, the current season that you and I are living in is known as the dispensation of the grace of God, as it's written in the New King James. Some people call it the grace dispensation. Now, what that means is the work of God the Father is clear during this season. He is willing and has sent messengers all over the earth with a message of reconciliation. The message is, you are on earth without God and without hope. You will perish if you die in your sin apart from the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So that what happens is, he sent messengers with the Holy Gospel. And the Holy Gospel is, Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried. Christ was risen on the third day. That is the Holy Gospel. But as Jesus came preaching, he said, he came with a very profound message. Repent, primarily of unbelief, and believe. See, the healing for an unbeliever is for him to believe. Right? So, in this season, God has said that I'm willing to forgive men of their sins. I am willing to reconcile them to myself through Christ, and I will take them to heaven and grant them eternal life. Thus, the grace dispensation. It had a beginning, and it's going to have an end. Okay? So you and I are on earth during this special time. What I just said to you is a partial revelation of the mystery of Christ. Because Christ is the author of the grace dispensation. Right? The Bible says that the law and the prophets came through Moses, but grace and truth has come to us now through Christ. With me so far? Now, it says, indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me, the Apostle Paul, the mystery, as I have briefly written already. So Paul is pointing, listen, I'm here, I have been granted the revelation of the mystery of Christ. And we too, as followers, we're standing on Christ, we're standing on Christ, the chief cornerstone, but we're also standing on the backs of the apostles and the prophets and the disciples, and through the word, we're standing on their backs because we're learning from them via the Holy Spirit through the word of God. Yes? So, it says here, it says, how by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. Verse 4, with me? It says, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, he's saying, to reading my writings from the Holy Spirit, God wants you to understand the mystery of Christ. Point. Number 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit, capital S, to his holy apostles and prophets. Now, I call that the blessing of understanding by revelation. In other words, through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul was enlightened of what Christ was trying to accomplish by coming to earth and by subject himself to a horrific death beyond understanding and beyond the knowledge of God. Could someone open the main door? So I want you to understand that during the Apostle Paul's time on earth, God downloaded the mystery of Jesus Christ to him. And thus, the Apostle Paul is a major contributor through the Holy Spirit to the New Testament. Would you agree? Yes? So God used this man to help us understand. So with me so far? Now, if you go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Now, what I want you to understand is we're talking about sowing into the body. Now, you have to understand that that God wants the church to be edified. That means to be built up, to be strengthened, to be encouraged. But as long as the yokes of sin are hanging on top of you, and you're abiding where the righteous should not go, the weights and the yokes of that burden will not allow you to become a faithful sower. One, because of your unwillingness. Two, because of the burden that's on your head and the sadness on your face. The other thing is, you must understand the eternal purpose of why you're here on earth. See, it's not about getting up and taking care of your kids and looking after the checkbook and taking care of the work. Yes, that's a part of sustaining life. And God wants us to be faithful to that, and Lord knows that it takes time. But that's not why you're here. That's a description of God sustaining you in your life so that you can be a sower. So with that said, you have to understand that He wants the ongoing, forever increasing, faithful sanctification of your life so that you can have a witness walking a life worthy of the calling that you've received, that you might be positioned to be a faithful witness for Christ. Not only a faithful witness, not only a reflection of Christ on the earth, but being a minister of encouragement, a faithful sower into the body for the global edification of the corporate church, so that the glory of God the Father would be ever increasing, that the unbelieving community on the earth would be confronted with the righteousness of God, namely the church on earth walking in partnership with God. With that said, the Lord moved upon Paul and He gave him the ministry of prayer for the saints. As I said, in order for us to have a good witness, we have to be walking closely with the Lord, apart from being under the bus and in sin, with the burden of sin ever downing us and holding us back and chaining us. You can't be a faithful witness if you're chained to your own sin. Right? So God moved. He moved mightily upon the man named the Apostle Paul. And Paul began the work of praying for the church. And he is an example of living in the ministry of a sower. So I'm saying that the Apostle Paul was a sower. Amen. He caught the revelation. He got hold of the mystery of the grace dispensation. He understood why he was on earth. He understood the suffering that he went through. He understood his errors. He understood the failures of his life. But once he got a hold that God had laid his hand on him and that God wanted to use him, he dropped everything. And said, "Lord, use me. Hold my hand. Make me a faithful sower that somebody else might be built up in the kingdom and therefore shine a faithful witness. Shine forth the glorious gospel." Okay, you're with me so far? So here's the Apostle Paul. He's called to the ministry of prayer for the saints in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Now, what is the fruit of his prayer? The fruit is that they would be enlightened, that they would come to a knowledge, ever-increasing knowledge of who they are and why they're on earth, and that through that enlightenment, through that revelation, that they would be greater equipped and greater positioned and really edified. In other words, edified by the Spirit of God on their purpose on earth. Now, here it is. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says this. It says that we, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, here it is. "For this reason," this is the Apostle Paul, he's working in the ministry of prayer for the saints. It says, "For this reason I bow my knee. I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Do you see what he was praying for? He was praying. Let's walk through here. It says in verse 14, first of all, he bowed. Reverent prayer. Who's the beneficiary of his prayer? The believing church around him. It says, from whom the whole family in heaven, it says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. And here's his direct petition, that he would grant you. In other words, there is a blessing that grants a greater sanctification. See, if you see someone struggling, that's your cue to pray for their edification. Pray for their sanctification. And in that way, you are tapping in to heaven's power for someone who's on earth and struggling. What happens? Heaven's power is released. We've seen a perfect example. Renee. She's struggling. She was struggling like anything. She's here in America all by herself apart from us. Don't think that's not difficult. Okay? No job, no money, no place to live. What happened? The body of Christ did the work of the former Apostle Paul and began to what? To pray for her edification, to pray for her needs, to pray for the blessing of God, to pray for grace to come. Right? She testified today of the grace of God, the tapestry, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, working behind the scenes for her good. Do you see the power of it? We've got somebody right here as an example. Amen. With me so far? Sure. So it is important. Okay? And it says, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Here it is. To be strengthened. To be strengthened. That's the consequence. That is the consequence of the ministry of the sower. In other words, if you sow, and you're sowing into the life of another believer, then you are dead center in the will of God. Because what are you doing? You're taking that person who's on earth and who's in need, you're taking them to heaven. You're taking them to heaven where Christ is, where the hope of all things is. In other words, through you, you take that person to the Father through Christ. And you present them and you petition for them. That's sowing in the ministry of prayer for the corporate church. It's not lofty. In fact, it's very personal. Because through understanding, by humbling yourself and being concerned not only with the affairs of your house, but you dig down and find out about the needs of those that are around you, and you pray to that end. Now what you've done is you have denied yourself. You've taken note of the need of another around you, namely someone in the body of Christ, and you have humbled yourself by being willing to sacrifice your time, your energy, your knees for their need. What is the outcome? The outcome is God moves. He comes and helps. And he builds up and he does what earthly people cannot do. I felt helpless sometimes. Rainey's down there in Georgia all by herself. I'm worried sick. I'm calling everybody and their brother I know in Georgia to go check on her. She moves to New Jersey. I'm doing the same thing. She moves to Chicago. I was doing the same thing. I'm burning up the phones. Check on her, check on her, check on her.
But I knew that that was pretty much pointless because the main thing that Rainey needed was intercession. And I was, Suchi and I and others, you all, were sowing into her life for the building up of her life for the glory of God. Now, because she has seen the power of prayer, I'm hoping that she'll take it to heart to sow into somebody else's life. Yes? Do you see how it can multiply? That's the teaching, is that sowing causes multiplication. It builds up and then it multiplies. When the church is strengthened, it multiplies. Are you catching that? Through answered prayer, edification comes, encouragement comes, and grace comes, and celebration comes. Are you seeing it? So all of us are called to the ministry of sowing, and I'm talking about sowing in the ministry of edification, but in the church, in the body, specifically in those that God has given you the opportunity to sow into. With me so far? Now, let's move down to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Now, what I want you to see here is we've looked at two things so far. We've looked at the blessing of revelation that grants understanding of the mystery of Christ. Now, a portion of the ministry of the mystery of Christ is that you would have an understanding of the grace dispensation and that you would come to a greater understanding of the universal call for you to walk in the ministry of edification, with your target being the heart, the soul, the mind, the life of someone in the body of Christ. Okay? That, and so we showed the ministry of prayer, how that bolts. So you have the ministry of the blessing of what? Blessing of God's revelation of what? Blessing of revelation that grants understanding of the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. So now, we looked at the ministry of the Apostle Paul, how God had given him revelation of the mystery. He understood his calling on earth, that he was called to sow into the body, namely the Gentiles for the Apostle Paul. Now I want to show you how the ministry of God has foreordained the equipping of the body. And Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, it reads like this. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure. Now look closely right there. What does it say? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. His gift, the gift of Christ. Now, go down a little farther. Here it is, verse 7 and 8. It says, therefore, he says, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Now, what I want you to understand is this, is that the equipping of the church via the gift of Christ allows us to be beneficiaries of Christ's gift to each one of us according to the measure of his grace. In other words, we're all uniquely gifted. The source of the gift, there's two gifts I want you to catch here. The person of Christ is God's gift to you. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Okay? God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? He gave Christ. Is Christ not God? Yes, he is. Right? So we had Emmanuel with us, God with us. God gave us himself. Then he gives gifts. And the gifts have the exclusive purpose of equipping the edification work. In other words, the gifts that God gives in the church is for the building up of the corporate church. This, my beloved, requires sowing. Because if you have a gift, it is no benefit to me unless you use it and sow into my life. Each one of you has a specific gift. Some have multiple, according to the grace of God, according to the will of God. Not one person has all nine gifts. Not one person walks in all five ministry offices. Okay? None of us are super Christians. God designed it so that in his infinite knowledge, one would build up the other and the other would build back. Okay? With me so far? Christ the gift, and then Christ's gifts, plural. With me? All right. So now, go down with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Now, I keep talking about this ministry of edification. I want you to see it for yourself in verse 12. Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to start 9, I'm going to land on 13. With me? Yeah. All right. That's not the way I laid it out. Hold on a minute. Let me read 12 first, and then we'll move down. Here it is. It says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification or edifying the body of Christ." All right, so the equipping comes as a result of Christ the gift through Christ's gifts, plural. And he equips the church, as you can see here, Ephesians 4:12b, for its edification. The building up of your cooperation. The building up of his life in you. So that the revelation to the world would not be you, but the reflection of Christ in you. Amen. Okay? I'm not talking about you laboring this out or you pulling this out of the rabbit's hat. No, I'm saying that the gift, because of the blessing of Christ, the blessing of his gifts to the church, and the landing of that inside of you, has equipped you to build up the church around you. Yes, got it. You nailed it right there. So, with that said, if you go, it's for the building up, for the edification, the equipping of the saints, for the edification of the corporate church. Now, this building up has a consequence. It has a stabilization consequence. And the reason for that is that children who are without knowledge, who do not understand why they're on earth, who have no revelation of the mystery of Christ and the grace dispensation and the clarion universal calls, the clarion call to repentance, the clarion call to belief, the clarion call to sow into the heart of God, into the body of Christ. Until you catch the mystery that God is reconciling all things in heaven and on earth to him. And that you've been a part, you are a part, you're called to participate. And without your cooperation, you will stay stagnant. And possibly unproductive. That is not God's will. Because he has assigned you. He has called you. He is equipping you. And he expects us to cooperate.
Amen.
In light of the mercy that each one of us have received. It is not about you. It's not about your house. It's not about your retirement fund. It's not about your TV. It's not about your car. It's not about what you want in the church. It's about Christ and his demand on you. So we must heed this clarion call. We must heed it and say, "Yes, sir, you can sow through me. I will participate." And so here it is. The consequence of this ministry of edification will stabilize the unstable. Now, I want to give you an example of that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says here in verse 14, now catch it, the unstable needs stabilizing. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so here it is in verse 14. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunningness and craftiness of deceitful plotting. But the consequence is that we may grow up. In other words, the stabilization, the ministry, catch this, you got to get this because I'm out of time. The ministry of edification stabilizes those that are wavering, that are not stable, that are not producing. With the goal of spiritual growth. So the edification brings stabilization. The stabilization brings spiritual growth. I want to show it to you in the Word. Here it is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Here it is. You with me? It says, but speaking the truth in love, comma. So one of the things you sow is speaking truth in love. Now, if you're in spiritual error, and I don't say something to you, I don't love you. And my lack of my silence is condoning your sin, and therefore I'm partaking in your peril. And God says that does nothing but destabilize. But here it is, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, comma, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part... Catch it right there. You got to get this. Look at verse 16. This sums up everything I'm trying to say. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. What does it cause? Remember, I said stabilization leads to spiritual growth. Didn't I say that? Here it is. Verse 16b causes the growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. There it is right there. The ministry of edification with the sowing into the body, sowing truth and love, stabilizing the church, stabilizing the weak, stabilizing the child that's here and there and to and fro, stabilizing. What does it do? It builds the person up, and then the consequence of that building up through the ministry of edification, speaking the truth in love, stabilizes them, and then they grow. But it will not happen, according to Ephesians 4:16, unless each one does their share. The pastor cannot do it. No, that's folly. That's absolute folly. So I'm encouraging you, take it to heart. Take it today to heart. To become a faithful sower. Somebody sowed in you.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody sowed prayers for you.
Yes.
Somebody sowed the Word of God to you. Amen. Somebody sowed encouragement to you.
Yes.
Somebody rebuked you when you needed it.
Yes.
Slapped you around out of your slothfulness. Or slapped you around out of your self-righteousness or your selfishness. Or your woe is me. There's no time, church. Jesus Christ is coming. And there's a great shaking that's coming to America. If there was ever a time for you to heed the Word of God, it is now. It is right now. Because I can assure you, there are things going to come that will terrify you. The Word of God promises it. Take it to heart. Sow into your own life and then become a sower into the corporate church. And walk in the calling that God has for you. For each one have been called through the clarion call, the universal call to sow. Thanks for letting me share.